back, fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to Season 2 of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries.
Telegram for Mr. Max and Mrs. Molly.
I'm Max.
And I'm Molly.
Jolly good. I bid you farewell, and thank you for your service.
A telegram? In the cafeteria?
Yeah. Who was that guy? Hey, where'd they go?
And when did they come from? Between the long overcoat and the I bid you farewell, I'm thinking they don't go to this school.
You think? Oh, well. We've gotten stranger messages. Let's see what it says. Dear Max and Molly, stop. Calm waters but rough circumstances ahead. Stop. Stay warm, stay sharp, stay yar. Stop. Destination, April 14th, 1912, 4157 North, 4929 West. Stop.
Yay, another freezing cold destination. Any chance we can request a tropical assignment?
I'd say we could reuse our snow booties, but these coordinates sound like we're aboard another boat. At least I'm finally getting my sea legs.
What makes you think it's a boat?
Well, for one thing, it says stay yar. Yar is a maritime term meaning fit, agile, or seaworthy. Oh, and easily steered. And for another thing, I thought that date looked familiar.
Why the big gulp?
Because that date is the sinking of the Titanic. Exactly! Double gulp!
Hold on. Come on, there's no way Aunt Em would have us time travel to a sinking ship, right?
Probably not. Unless we could stop it from sinking.
But we're not supposed to alter historic events. Our job is to help with solutions that keep the power-hungry pogs from altering events that change our present, right?
All I know is, looking at these coordinates, a Titanic's last known position was 41.46 degrees north, 50.14 degrees west. And the telegram says 41.57 degrees north and 49.29 degrees west.
Okay, and how do we figure out the difference between two geographical points?
Easy. The distance between two geographical points can be calculated using the Heaversine formula. Literally half a Versine.
What the heck is a Versine?
It's equal to 1 minus the cosine of an angle. Which, now that I think about it, is a little out of my league. Which is ironic, since we're headed out to sea.
Ah, now we're talking my language. I will say it is a pretty complicated equation. But using the Heaversine trigonometric formula, we can plug in the coordinates of each location, the Titanic's and the one we're going to, and R, which stands for Earth's radius, which is 3,958.76 miles, to give us D, the distance between the two points.
Wait, you can do all of that?
No.
Oh.
But the graphing calculator on my phone can.
Phew.
And mad props to Ada Lovelace for getting computers started early enough for us to be able to do this with a pocket-sized calculator today.
Absolutely. We'd be lost without it. Literally.
Okay, so according to these calculations, we're going to land about 57.93 miles away from the Titanic.
Okay.
When exactly did the Titanic sink?
Titanic sank at 2:20 a.m. on April 15th, 1912. Which means we're going one day ahead and about 58 miles away. Huh. Aunt Em wouldn't drop us in the middle of the North Atlantic, would she?
Of course not. I don't think.
Only one way to find out. Let's grab our cold weather gear and time radio from our lockers and head on over there.
Wherever there is. When we teleport, make sure to keep a tight hold of the time radio in case it's a water landing. I want to be able to come right back here.
You don't have to say that twice.
Why are you guys wearing parkas and hats and scarves? It's 65 degrees out.
These are our problem-solving parkas.
Max!
The problem-solving parkas?
Yep. It's for a TikTok video we're shooting. We're polar private eyes solving mysteries and problem-solving parkas.
Oh! I mean, yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
I guess. You look pretty warm to me.
Yeah. Anyway, nice chatting. Bye!
Hey, where'd they go?
Yay! We're not in the ocean.
Nope, but we are on a boat. I hope it's not the...
Ahoy! And welcome aboard the RMS Carpathia. You must be Max and Molly. Care for a cup of tea?
Yes, please. Whew, this isn't too bad.
No, but it's gonna get worse. No tea for me, thanks.
You sure about that? It'll warm you up.
On second thought, got any peppermint?
Here you go. My name is Arthur Rostron. I'm the captain of this ship. On April 11th, we departed from New York City, headed for Fiume, Austria-Hungary.
That's Croatia. In present time.
An hour ago, I received a message from Myrtle Murgatroyd, saying I should expect two of the newest problem solvers, as there would soon be trouble ahead.
That's my Aunt Em, and she's not lying about the trouble ahead.
Hmm. It's a calm sea and clear sky. But, just to be safe, we're traveling at a reduced speed, and we have extra lookouts on duty, keeping their eyes peeled for icebergs.
Good idea.
Yep. I have some good news and bad news for you, Captain.
You don't say.
The good news is, it isn't your ship that will be in trouble.
Sounds like that's all good news.
The bad news is you're about to become part of an epic rescue effort.
Oh, you don't say. And you know this because...
We're problem solvers.
From the future. Can I have some more tea? It's so peaceful. The calm before the storm.
It's crazy knowing not far away one of the worst maritime disasters in history is happening as we speak.
Captain Rostron, we're receiving distress signals. Come quick to the Marconi room.
And so it begins.
Yep, with a message via Marconigram. Thank goodness both ships have this fairly new technology aboard. Devised by Guglielmo Marconi, this machine uses radio waves to transmit and receive wireless Morse-coded messages.
The first to send messages across the Atlantic.
Also known as telegrams or radio telegraphy, they were the precursor to modern radio.
We better go.
Right.
It's the RMS Titanic. They say, come at once. We have struck a berg. It's a CQDOM.
What's CQDOM?
CQD is a maritime or ship's distress signal. It was in popular use before SOS became the standard. It translates to all stations distress. The common explanation given is that the letters CQ sound like the words seek you, and the D stands for distress.
OM stands for old man. It's sort of a friendly term between radio operators, like we're all on the same team.
You're about to be.
Operator Jack Phillips from the Titanic says, position 41.46 north, 50.14 west. Message received 12:25 a.m. April 15th.
Adjust our course at once. Mr. Cottle, tell the Titanic we're coming as fast as we can.
We're only about 58 miles away. If we were driving on the freeway, we could be there in like an hour.
Unfortunately, these enormous steamships don't travel that swiftly. We're 58 miles from the Titanic's position. 1 mile is about 0.87 nautical miles.
Great. So 0.87 times 58, that's only 50.46 nautical miles.
Captain, how fast can we cross, while avoiding icebergs ourselves, of course?
I'm prepared to push this ship to its limits.
This is Captain Rostron speaking. I want all hands on deck. Start hanging every electric light you can find alongside the ship. Ready our lifeboats, pilot ladders, and cargo cranes. Also, we're going to need coffee, tea, and soup in large quantities.
It's going to be a long night to remember.
You can say that again.
But wait, how fast can we cross, Captain?
Molly, can you help set up first aid stations in the dining rooms and enlist all the doctors on board? Bax, start collecting blankets and warm clothing.
Okay, but first, I gotta know, how fast can we get there?
Jack Phillips says, sinking, head down. We are putting passengers off in the boats. Engine room, getting flooded. Engine room, full up to the boilers.
Our average speed is only 14 knots.
One knot is about 1.15 miles per hour. Molly?
14 times 1.15 is only 16.1 miles per hour.
And Titanic is 50 nautical miles away. That means we won't reach Titanic for 50 divided by 16.1 is about 3 hours and 10 minutes.
I think if I can get all the off-duty firemen and trimmers to the boiler room, we can keep the boilers running at full pressure. We'll be stressing the engines, but the speed is paramount. I think we can coax her up to around 17 knots.
Okay. That helps. A little. 17 times 1.15 equals 19.55 miles per hour. 50 nautical miles divided by 19.55 equals 2 hours and 56 minutes.
And that's if we're able to travel full speed in a straight line. With all these icebergs in the water, that's probably not going to happen. I'm going to shut off the steam heat to our passenger cabins to keep us running fast. We can handle a little cold in service for this rescue effort. I just hope the survivors can stay afloat till we get there.
Double gulp.
Come on, faster.
I feel like you do, Max. But like you said, we can't alter history.
I know. It's just, I wish we could save more people.
We're making good time. If everyone was able to get to a lifeboat, we should be able to pick them all up. What's wrong? Why the deep sigh?
So, the Titanic only has 16 wooden lifeboats with a capacity of 65 each, and 4 collapsible lifeboats with a capacity of 47 each.
16 times 65 is 1,040, and 4 times 47 is 188. Add those together, and there's enough room in the lifeboats for 1,228 people.
I believe I read there were 1,400 passengers and around 800 crew members on board Titanic. That's
2,208 people.
In other words, there aren't enough boats or seats. How could that be?
The worst part is this all could have been avoided.
Avoided? How?
Those collapsible lifeboats on Titanic were patented by Maria E. Beasley of North Carolina around 1882. They have a base of collapsible metal floats that ensure flexibility and make them easy to store. 3 of these life rafts could fit in the place of 1 wooden boat aboard the Titanic.
So, if the 16 wooden boats were replaced by 16 times 3, 48 of Maria E. Beasley's design,
which fit 47 people,
47 times 48 equals Molly?
That's 2,256 people, plus the 4 Beasley boats that were already aboard. That's 47 times 4 equals 188. 2,256 plus 188 equals 2,444.
That's more than enough room for everyone on board.
Not to mention, they also have airtight containers for storing food, drinking water, and first aid supplies. In fact, their design informed the design of the modern life rafts we use in our time. If only they had spent more time worrying about safety design and smart emergency planning and not luxury size and speed.
Maybe the Titanic sinking wouldn't have been the worst maritime disaster in history.
Captain, we haven't had a Marconi dispatch from the Titanic for hours, but we've reached her position.
It's so quiet, so still. The night is as dark as black velvet. Stop the ship's engines!
Ahoy! This is Molly Brown! Is anyone there? The ship I was on just sank!
Yes, this is the RMS Carpathia. We're here to save you.
Boy, am I glad to see you. Thanks for the tea and blanket, kids. My name is Molly Brown.
I'm Max, and this is Molly.
Another Molly, huh? I say, you can never have enough Mollies.
I'd agree with that.
Aw, thanks, Max. You're pretty awesome, too.
I agree. You kids are heroes. If you didn't come along, I don't know what would have happened.
Thanks, but we just happen to be in the right place at the right time. The real hero is standing over there.
Who needs coffee? I've got soup and blankets, too.
Captain Rostron will be awarded a U.S. Congressional Gold Medal for rushing to the Titanic's aid despite the danger to himself and his vessel.
Oh, yeah? You some kind of fortune teller?
You could say that.
Molly Brown, you're going to go on to fight for the rights of workers, support unions, lobby for women's suffrage, and help women win the right to vote in Colorado before the rest of the country catches up.
Say, I like the sound of that. I say, you can't keep us mollies down.
Ah, there you two are. I wanted to thank you for your help, problem solvers. We saved a lot of people. I just wish it could have been more.
I know. Take care, Captain.
Farewell, and thank you for your service.
Farewell and thank you for your service?
I was just trying out some maritime lingo, OM.
Who are you calling an old man?
Where have you two been?
Who, us? We were just part of a Titanic rescue effort.
It's much more rewarding being a hero than a villain, Charlene.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. But just remember,
if you ever mess up the problem solvers, you won't take us down.
Because we're unsinkable. This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Libby Ward and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Rain Morris, Adam Tex Davis, Sheffield Chastain, and Jenna Hoban. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert and is an Atomic Audio production.